Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
One passage, chapter 6 and verse 14, where Paul tells the Corinthians, "Do not become unequally or dissimilarly yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership do righteousness and lawlessness have? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness?" It's good to consider this verse in any context, but better is to consider it in the context to which it was delivered to us in the divine revelation. Here, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is in the context of the New Testament ministry, the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry where Paul, under his commission by the Lord, charges the believers in Corinth to be fully reconciled to God. Dick Taylor has joined us as we fellowship about this verse, about this marvelous ministry of reconciliation, and about our enjoyment of Christ in 2 Corinthians. Good to have you back, Dick.
Thanks, Chris. It's really good to be here. And praise the Lord, we could be fully reconciled to God, not just objectively redeemed by Him and reconciled to Him, but fully enjoying Him as our complete salvation. And you can see, Chris, in this program, again, God's only desire is that we would be with Him. Just like I think of 2 Corinthians 11:2, He is jealous over us.
Yeah.
That we would just be one with Him, be brought to Him. Nothing at all on this earth would distract us from Him, but rather we would love Him with a first love and be absolutely reconciled to Him.
Of course, those who have been with us, Dick, each day, or at least most days, realize we're spending a lot of time on this matter of the further reconciliation that's brought out in 2 Corinthians. Just a kind of a quick review. In 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us that we are reconciled from our sins. In 2 Corinthians, there's a further reconciliation. Of course, that initial reconciliation we all received, we all experienced when we first received Christ, By faith, by grace, we're saved, and our faith is in the redeeming work of Christ on the cross, and that has saved us from our sins.
Right.
And for that, we praise God, and there's nothing that will ever change that in the eternal record.
Mm-hmm.
But now we all find ourselves needing, as the Corinthian believers did, needing to be further reconciled, really brought into God in the fullest sense of the term.
That's really true, Chris, and I just appreciate it's like, yes, objectively, we believe in the Lord, and we're cleansed by His blood, and we're reconciled to Him in a kind of positional way. But God's desire is that even we would be reconciled to Him dispositionally. And that means that we would experience His salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Not only He would come into our spirit to be life to us, but He could spread into our mind, our emotion, our will, and like Ephesians 3 says, He could really build His home in our heart. And eventually, by His dispensing Himself and moving into all of our being, saving our entire being, then we can say dispositionally we are reconciled to God.
So now I think we have a good context from which to begin our discovery and our discussion regarding this verse in chapter 6, verse 14, about being unequally yoked. The Recovery Version uses the word dissimilarly, but unequally is, I think, the word that most people are familiar with. The meanings there are about the same. So, Dick, it's all related to whether or not we engage in something that creates a separation, a distancing between us and God. This is really the kind of reconciliation that Paul is now carrying out among the church in Corinth and by extension through the New Testament to all of us who have followed. Why don't we join Witness Lee with our first portion, then we'll get back and talk about this, 2 Corinthians 6:14.
Based upon the principle of the full salvation, of being fully reconciled, based upon this principle, Paul goes on in chapter 6 to say, don't get yourself unequally yoked. Do not become unequally yoked with unbelievers. To be yoked with unbelievers is just to be distracted from God. to get us such a yoke is to come back to God, is to be reconciled back into God. As a believing brother, if you are going to marry an unbeliever, this is to be unequally yoked. And this kind of yoking is to be distracted from God. Surely, as a brother to marry an unbeliever, and this kind of marriage is a distraction. Even in doing business, suppose you are going to have a partner working together for one business with one interest for one goal. This is an unequally yoked pair. This kind of pair should be cut off. You see, if you are going to be in this way, surely your business will distract you from God, will keep you further and further away from God. So you need to give up this kind of business and be reconciled back to God. Not only so, even friendship. You know, you young people like to have friendship. You young brothers and young sisters, if you have friendship with an unbeliever, and that kind of friendship is a kind of an unequally yoked pair. As long as you keep such a kind of unequal friendship, and this kind of friendship will all the time distract you further, 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 a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, away from the Lord. So Paul says, do not be unequally yoked. For what purpose? For the purpose that you may be kept in God, that you may be brought back into God.
You know, Dick, this verse, verse 14, is one of those that's easy for us as Christians to pick up because we can understand. It's very clear. It kind of gives us a commandment, something to do, to carry out. But really, we have to understand the context here. That's not the way Paul's writing this verse, as a kind of just, you know, a strict ordinance, a religious regulation. There's a reason why in Paul's heart, as he's saying here, my heart is open to you, my heart is enlarged to the Corinthians. Then he tells them in this context, don't be unequally yoked, whether it's in marriage or business or any of these other relationships, because it's going to have an impact on your fellowship with God. And this is the key, isn't it?
It really is. I like this matter, Chris. This is a principle. And if we really see this principle, we will be saved and our fellowship with the Lord will be rich and sweet. But if we don't see this principle, we will not enjoy the Lord very much, but rather, as our brother spoke over and over again, we will be distracted. If we really see the principle, we'll realize, and we'll see this a little later in the program, that a believer with an unbeliever is like God with the devil.
Mm-hmm.
These two don't go together.
That's right.
So we need to see the real significance here. If we see this, then it will protect us, and then our fellowship with the Lord will remain sweet and living and enjoyable. And we will be people in our daily life who are not distracted from God, but rather always brought back to Him and enjoying Him in an absolute oneness with Him, and most of all, just loving Him, fully in love with the Lord. And that's what we want. We don't want to be distracted from the one that loves us and that we love. So this is the real point here, that we would pick up this principle, not just a kind of outward legality,
right,
but the principle. And it really saves us from all the distractions that keep us from being one with the Lord and from being fully brought back to Him in our daily living. And so God's heart's desire is not for us to do this, to do that, even to take us here, take us there. His real desire is that we would be one with Him. And I'm thinking of a verse from 1 Corinthians, Chris, which expresses this, 6:17. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We could say he who is yoked to the Lord right. is one spirit. This is the oneness the Lord desires. And the matter of being yoked to an unbeliever is something that would take us away from our being yoked to Him and distract us. So may we see the principle. May we be quick to turn and repent and come back to the one we love and practice to be one spirit with the Lord.
Dick, you said that this would help our fellowship remain sweet, living, and enjoyable.
Amen.
And the net effect of this kind of fellowship is really our further being reconciled to God, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Dick, if we pick up the tail end of verse 14 and include 15 and 16, what we end up with are five pairs, contrasts that Paul presents now as he develops this thought of this keeping this principle. For what partnership, he says, do righteousness and lawlessness have? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? And what concord does Christ have with Belial? Or what part does a believer have with an unbeliever? And what agreement does the temple of God have with idols?
Mm.
Let's look at these five pairs a little bit. I think there's some light here, isn't there, that will help us?
Surely.
All right, let's go back to Witness Lee.
Paul gives us five illustrations. He says, what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Between righteousness and lawlessness, there shouldn't be any kind of a relationship. There shouldn't be any kind of partnership. Then number two, what fellowship has light with darkness? Light and darkness, they have nothing to do one with another. They shouldn't have any fellowship. As a believer, you are in the light. If you have some fellowship, some friendship with an unbeliever, that is a kind of fellowship between light and darkness. Then number three, and what harmony has Christ with Belial? Belial is another name of Satan, the devil. Between Christ and the devil, there's no harmony. You are of Christ, and the unbelievers are of Satan. If you make friendship with the unbelievers, that means you are making harmony between Christ and Satan. Number four, what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Number five, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? All the unbelievers are full of idols. You are the temple of God, and the unbelievers are full of idols. How could you have any kind of a relationship?
Dick, now we have these five good pairs, five good examples, really helping us to understand the principle that he brought out in verse 14. We have a dark thing and a light thing, a positive and a negative in each of these cases. It reminded me a little bit of a verse we've been spending a lot of time on in chapter 5, again, in the context of our full reconciliation into God. Verse 21 in chapter 5 said, "Him who did not know sin, he made sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So he has really delivered us into this positive category through this reconciliation, hasn't he?
He really has, Chris. And this is amazing. Like the verse you just read, he who knew no sin was made sin on our behalf that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I tell you, even if we see this verse, we'll realize what full reconciliation means in God's eyes. And we'll realize the significance of these five pairs or these five illustrations and how serious this principle is. And as our brother mentioned earlier, as Christians, this should apply to our marriage, this should apply to our business, and this should apply to all the young people and their friends, or any of us at any age and our friends. We must pick up this principle. And that is that this contrast from these five illustrations shows us the difference between believers and unbelievers is extremely great. And I would like to refer, Chris, for a moment to the written life study, because here you can see in the verses, righteousness and unrighteousness, light and darkness, no harmony between those of Christ and Belial or Satan,
right,
the believer with the unbeliever, the temple of God and idols. There's no relationship between these two. Well, it's one thing to see that, but listen to this, what it says in the written life study. These illustrations also unveil the fact that the believers are righteousness, light, Christ, and the temple of God. And the unbelievers are lawlessness, darkness, Belial, Satan the devil, and idols. So when you see this, you say, surely, why would I be so stupid to be unequally yoked to an unbeliever? That's to be yoked with lawlessness, darkness, Satan, and idols. Surely if we see this, we would flee and we would turn to the Lord and realize his desire for a full reconciliation through his wonderful full salvation, and we would enjoy him in this sweet, living, enjoyable fellowship and not be distracted from him.
Wow. It's good to see such a verse, like we said before, that can be taken in a kind of a legal, religious regulation sort of way and put into the context where we realize that behind this verse is this life principle that really ushers us into full salvation in our experience as well as just in the objective fact. Dick, I want to continue on in the context here because as Paul is leading now the Corinthians into a full reconciliation, there's a result, even a promise associated with it. It's very sweet in the next couple of verses, 16 and 17. It says, "For we are the temple of the living God, even as God said, I will dwell among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people."
Amen.
"Therefore, come out from their midst and be separated, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you."
Amen.
"And I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty."
Amen.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, let's find out about this marvelous portion, this very sweet conclusion to our message today. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Now, verse 17 says, "As God said, I will dwell in them," that means in the believers, "and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." This is our situation. God's living in us and dwelling in us and walking among us, and he's our God, and we are his people. "Wherefore, come out of their midst," that means from the midst of the unbelievers, "and be separated." To be separated here really means to be brought back to God, to be reconciled to God, "and do not touch what is unclean." What is unclean? All the five things: lawlessness, darkness, Belial, unbeliever, the idols, all those things are unclean things. Do not touch them. And not touching these unclean things is, again, a separation, a reconciliation back into God. "And I will welcome you." And this is the welcome in reconciliation. Verse 18 says, "And I will be a father to you." Not only God to you, I will be a father. God is just a creator, but Father, he has regenerated us. "And you shall be sons and daughters to me." In the entire New Testament, only this one verse tells us that God has daughters. To many parents, the daughter is dear to you. The boys are naughty to you. They are precious, but they are naughty. You check with the parents who have sons and daughters, they all say, daughters are dear. Paul wants us to see we are so dear to God. We are not only precious to God. So, we are not only sons to God, we are also daughters. On the one hand, we are precious sons. On the other hand, we are dear daughters. Sisters, you have to be bold as sons of God. Brothers, we all have to be dear as daughters of God. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. To cleanse ourselves simply means to get away from the distractions that we may be fully reconciled back into God.
Dick, this is a sweet point to end on today. I think all the fathers listening that have daughters know what he was speaking of here. I had two sons and two daughters. The daughters are very precious, but there's a long period, it seems, with the sons that you don't think of precious right away when you think of them. It's not the first thought. In one sense, in a very good sense, we are daughters to him, aren't we?
We really are. So the Bible makes it very clear, because of regeneration, we are his sons, because we have the divine life. In fact, we all have to say, hallelujah, I'm a son of God, because I have God's life. On the other hand, like Brother Lee said, this is a very unique verse to show us that we are also daughters. So we're really dear and sweet and precious to the Lord. And I appreciate, you know, 2 Corinthians 11:2 at least tells us something along this line, where Paul said, I'm jealous over you with the jealousy of God. I have betrothed you to one husband that I might present you a pure virgin to Christ. Yeah. Indicating that verse also shows that we are daughters. We're the females.
Right.
And we have been betrothed to Christ in love. And as sons, we're full of his life, and we're here to grow and mature, to become his testimony, to be just like him. And as daughters, we're here to love him to the uttermost, because we're betrothed to him as the bride of Christ. So this is a very sweet way to end this program, seeing that our God is not only God to us, we're not only reconciled to God, but we're reconciled to God who is our Father. And he's the Father of both sons and daughters. May we end this program by just telling the Lord again how much we really, really love him. Lord, we love you with all of our heart. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for reconciling us back to yourself from every distracting thing. Hallelujah, we love you.
You know, Dick, 13 chapters, I think, in the book of 2 Corinthians. I've noticed that in this life study, as Witness Lee was giving it back some 20-odd years ago, when he got to these chapters of 5 and 6, this matter of the reconciliation, the full reconciliation, the full salvation,
right?
He spent a lot of time here. We've been on these two chapters now for a couple of weeks, because I think this was really a burden of his, particularly in this life study. And I think we're all seeing it in such a fresh way, our appreciation and our apprehension of this portion of 2 Corinthians has really deepened. Each day, as we fellowship on this matter of the full and further reconciliation, I know in me, my appreciation has deepened very much. I look forward to being together again with you. For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks very much for listening.